Please turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of John and to chapter number 17. Let us hear the Word of God. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. For our reading from the Old Testament tonight, I turn you to the prophecy of Daniel and to Daniel chapter number 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near, and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel hath transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil is come upon us, yet may be not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Please turn with me in the word of God to the Gospel of John and to chapter number 17, the chapter that we briefly considered this morning. I just read from chapter 16, verse 33, down to verse 4 of chapter 17. So chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And I want to draw your attention to that fourth verse, this remarkable prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ before he crossed the brook Kedron and entered the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This truly is the Lord's Prayer. There are petitions in this prayer, such as that one there in verse 4, which none could ever make apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the hearing of his disciples, it is as though he opens the inner recesses of his large heart to his Father. He prays in verse 1 for himself, but then he goes on to pray for those whom thou hast given me, and for those that shall believe on him through their word. So that includes you and I. But as you read through this remarkable prayer, 6 times at least he makes reference to the people given to him. Look at verse number 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. In verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Then in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He delights in the gift of a vast, vast multitude, which no man can number, that were given to him in eternity past. Our minds cannot comprehend the eternal dimension, for we are creatures of time, finite creatures of the dust, but way back there in eternity, before ever God created the universe and the world out of the womb of nothing, before ever he fixed the stars in their father's galaxies, when there was none but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in that solemn conclave of eternity past, the Father gave to the Son a vast multitude from every tribe, kindred, people, tongue, and nation. And the Son loved them in eternity past. He loved them with an everlasting love, and as you read through books like the Song of Songs, chapter 4 at verse 9, he says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Those that were given to him by the Father in eternity, they ravished his heart, stole his heart. And so, on the eve of Gethsemane, just as he is about to offer himself as that one sacrifice for sin, it is the people that the Father gave to him that occupies the throne of his heart. Just as Aaron appeared before the Lord in the holy place, with the names and the circumstances and the conditions of Israel borne upon his heart on that breastplate of judgment for a memorial before the Lord continuously, so the Lord Jesus Christ enters Gethsemane with the names of those given to him by the Father in eternity, engraven upon his heart. And he appears now before God in prayer, presents himself before the Father's throne, and offers this high priestly prayer. And he pleads, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The person who is here praying is the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all revealed mysteries. He was and ever will be God and man in one person, perfect man, perfect God, God manifest in the flesh, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, one essential being in the infinite essence of the Godhead, the Word made flesh, by whom all things were made, and without whom nothing was made that was made. He is the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. John could write in John chapter 1, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul tells us in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it is he who prays. It is he who intercedes now before the throne of God. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So first of all tonight, consider the first part of this plea. Remarkable words. I have glorified thee on the earth. In the Old Testament we read of the altar of burnt offering, with its four horns, one at each corner, and the sacrificial victim, as they were brought to that altar, they were tied with cords to those horns of the altar. The psalmist, speaking of Messiah, says, God is the Lord which hath showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And as our Lord Jesus Christ utters this plea, he is standing, I remind you, on the threshold of Gethsemane. Within 9 hours, he will be taken by wicked hands and nailed to that shameful tree. He is bound with cords of everlasting love. For the people given to him in eternity by the Father, he stands, as it were, beside the altar of burnt offering, bound with cords of love. And he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. These are the greatest and perhaps most profound words ever spoken here upon the earth. Have you thought of that? There are no greater words than these. Nothing more profound than these words. I have glorified thee on the earth. None but the Lord Jesus Christ could ever speak such words as those. Who amongst the sons of Adam, which of the great preachers of any age, which of the Bible expositors could ever in sincerity say, I have glorified thee on the earth? None. It is as though the Saviour in this petition says, My Father, I have, according to the good pleasure of thy will, according to the riches of thy grace, according to the covenant engagements between me and thee and the Godhead, performed all that was in thy heart. I have expressed thine eternal and thine everlasting love to the people that thou hast given to me. I have manifested thy faithfulness to thy promises. I have displayed the riches of thy manifold and thy rich and thy tender mercies. I have come down from heaven to make known the holiness of thy nature. I have demonstrated thy justice and thine utter abhorrence of sin to the uttermost. And I am about to lay down my life for the sheep upon the cross. Father, I have revealed and I have displayed thine infinite love for thy people, that thou mightest be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Father, this I have done, and all that remains to be done I am prepared to do and to fulfill it to the uttermost. Thou knowest that I have vindicated the dishonor done to thy great name, thy character. I have glorified thee on the earth, this earth so long a land of darkness, so long in the hands of the prince of darkness. I have glorified thee on the earth. Truly none but the Son of God himself could utter such words. Not all the angels or archangels who excel in strength, doing his commandments and hearkening to the voice of his word, not all those ministers of his that do his pleasure, not one of them could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. These are wonderful words. And it was true of Christ, even before his birth in Bethlehem. From the dawn of creation, he had been the glorifier of his Father in heaven. Creation, of course, was his handiwork. We read, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." And the heavens, we are told in the psalm, declare the glory of God. "I have glorified thee on the earth." But then through the miracle of the virgin birth, you remember what the song of the angels were? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." His whole life here upon earth was a manifestation of the glory of the Father. For 30 years he lived in poverty and in obscurity in Nazareth, working at the carpenter's bench. And yet, my friends, it was he who created the world out of nothing, but there he works, shaping pieces of wood into furniture, or whatever. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I honored my mother and Joseph. I kept thy word. I obeyed every precept of thy word." We read of him in Hebrews 1, he is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. When Philip said, "Show us the Father," what was the answer? "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father also. I have glorified thee on the earth." He glorified the Father by the miracles that he performed. And what miracles? Those born blind receiving their sight. Men who had been lame for 38 years, skipping like a hart. Lepers cleansed, the deaf given hearing, the dumb their speech, withered arms restored whole. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him. He healed the man sick of the palsy, and what did the multitude do? They marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So all the miracles, he was glorifying the Father here upon earth. But he glorified the Father also by his words, his matchless teaching. "For never man spake like this man. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Read through the Gospels. Study and meditate upon his words, and every sentence that he ever spoke here upon earth, he was glorifying the Father. He said that in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." But Christ glorified the Father here upon earth by his sinless, immaculate, spotless life. A life from beginning to end without sin, without spot, without blemish, full of grace and truth. "I have glorified thee on the earth." But then notice the second part of the petition. "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And the Greek word here, translated work, is a word that belongs to the world of business. when a businessman is given a specific brief to carry out. That's the force of this word. I have finished the brief. I have finished the work. That prescribed work. That definite, that specific work that thou didst give me in eternity past. It is a complete work. I have finished that work. We have a beautiful summary of that work given to him by the Father in that prophecy of Daniel that I read to you earlier on. There in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 we have a description of the work. We are told 6 specific things that he was to do, Messiah was to do. 70, this is Daniel 9 verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Listen, here is the work, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That was the work given to him in eternity, in its sixfold aspect. To finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. This was the work given to Messiah by the Father in eternity. This is why he came into this dark world of sin, virgin born. This is why he lived in poverty and in obscurity at Nazareth, that he might finish the work, that he might consummate it. See the evil there described in the prophecy of Daniel in its threefold aspect, iniquity. What is iniquity? It is evil in its principle. Transgression, evil in its character. Sin, evil in its practice. And all of this was to be dealt with, finished, consummated by Christ. How did he do that? By fulfilling the law. And the Mosaic law required 2 things to be done. First, complete, perfect obedience. And if that failed, satisfaction by sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus Christ met the law in both ways. He obeyed it to the uttermost. And he rendered infinite satisfaction on behalf of those who had transgressed that law. He has finished transgression. Literally, he has put it out of the way, so that God the Father can never look at any sinner standing before him in Christ as chargeable with a single transgression. That is why there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, there are certain things which Almighty God cannot do. Does that sound like heresy? Certain things which God himself cannot do. What are they? He cannot lie. Second, he cannot deny himself. But what's the third that he cannot do? Praise God, he cannot remember my sin. For that people given to the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity, the Lord looks down from the height of his sanctuary in heaven upon his blood-bought people, and he says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Blotted out of the omniscient memory of God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has finished, consummated transgression. And then again, he was to make an end of sin. What a wonderful expression that is, to make an end of sin. Literally, to seal it up. The original Greek here is the same as we find in Revelation 20 and verse 3, where we read of Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Set a seal upon him. In like manner, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with sin. He has made an end of sin. He has shut it up. He has set a seal upon it. He has put it away. He has abolished it, taken it out of God's sight forevermore. And then again, in Daniel we read a third aspect of the work given to the Son in eternity. He was to make reconciliation for iniquity, to satisfy the justice of God. God simply cannot just forgive sin. There has to be satisfaction to his justice. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made reconciliation for iniquity, satisfying the justice of God. He has met the just requirements of the law on behalf of his people, dying the just for the unjust. Wonderful. He has finished transgression, made an end of sin, made reconciliation for iniquity. But if he had done no more, if he had done no more, you and I could not go to heaven. You realize that? We needed more. Wonderful to have sin dealt with. Wonderful that transgression is finished. Wonderful to make reconciliation for iniquity, but he did far, far more. He was to bring in an everlasting righteousness. An everlasting righteousness. For of the sons of Adam it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If ever you and I are to stand before God, if ever you and I are to go to heaven, we need a righteousness. We need to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We began this evening with the metrical psalm 31. And it was the first verse of that psalm which so tormented Martin Luther. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Luther struggled with that verse. What did it mean? Deliver me in thy righteousness. Luther, for long years, had been seeking to obtain a righteousness through his own works and merits. And then he came across that verse, deliver me in thy righteousness, not mine, thy righteousness. And he was tormented for months by that verse, till at last he saw that Christ is the righteousness of God. Yes, it's wonderful to have our sins dealt with. Wonderful to have them forgiven. But if you and I are to stand in the presence of a thrice holy God, we need to be accepted as righteous in his sight. But thank God, we read in 2 Corinthians 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Or as Paul writes in Romans 3 at verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But wonder of wonders, that perfect, spotless robe of Christ's righteousness is imputed to those given to him in eternity. What a wonderful transaction. My sin imputed to the sinless one, his sinlessness imputed to my account. As we read in Isaiah 61, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. As I close, my friends, the work given to him by the Father, be assured, is altogether finished. Transgression finished. The making an end of sin finished. Making reconciliation for iniquity finished. Bringing in the righteousness of God finished. The sealing up of the vision and the prophecy finished. Redemption finished. The types and shadows of the Old Testament ceremonial law finished, consummated in Christ. Our Passover sacrificed for us. Forgiveness sealed, finished. The separation which sin had made between us and God finished. I have finished, I have consummated the work which thou gavest me to do. I have saved my people from their sin. I have redeemed them from another curse of the law that they had broken. I have magnified thy law and made it honorable. I have satisfied divine justice. I have magnified thy holiness. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. There is nothing left for them to do. I've done it all. My friends, don't boast of your works. Don't pride yourself on your moral respectability. I exhort you to cast yourself for time and for eternity upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Amen.